This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now, here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Oh, Ashley Nerona is our Vatican correspondent joining us live from Rome. Ashley, good morning.
Well, good morning, John. Buongiorno from Roma.
As we see COVID-19 putting some new restrictions on a number of states across the country, we see COVID-19 again affecting the Wednesday general audience now moving inside Minus Entity of the Faithful in the library of the Apostolic Palace.
That's right. In fact, it moved from that Paul VI audience hall where it had been held for the last few weeks back to the library because there was an audience member last week who tested positive for the virus. And so it looks like we will have a new location for the foreseeable future. Now, today, the Holy Father, in his catechesis, in his weekly teaching, he looked to Jesus' example of prayer and what that can teach all of us. He looked specifically at the book of Mark, chapter 1, and the story where Jesus heals many sick people. He goes late into the night, but he is sure to rise up early the next morning and spend time in prayer. In fact, the Pope calls prayer the rudder that guides Jesus' course. And he said there are four important lessons that can be taken from Jesus' witness of prayer. Now, the first one is to note that it was the first desire of Jesus' day. And today, Pope Francis said that if prayer is not well, then a day can become burdensome and tedious, and it's easy to forget about God during the day. But instead, he said that by putting prayer at the start of the day, this is a way to bring God into every part of the day, and furthermore, to ask him for faith to grow from whatever the circumstances around us may be. Now, secondly, Pope Francis said that Jesus' example teaches that you have to be persistent in prayer, that it requires discipline and constant effort and practice. And with that, a strength can come from the graces that come from prayer, especially during difficult times. Thirdly, he noted that Jesus' prayer is solitary. So he emphasized the importance of praying in what he called a deserted place, because it's there in the silence that God speaks, and cultivating that inner life. And it's from having that deep inner life that truths emerge. And finally, the fourth lesson today is that Jesus' example shows that prayer, it brings people to right relationship with God and with all the rest of creation, reminding everyone that everything comes from God, returns to God, and that in prayer like this, peace and joy will follow, John.
The Holy Father talking about that persistence in prayer, we all strive for that, and very often it's easy to get off the track of having that regular prayer routine. It's great when you have it, but it's sometimes difficult to achieve. We always talk about your husband, John. How do you and your husband achieve that persistence in prayer in your busy schedules and running the Truth and Beauty Project and everything else that you do?
Well, John and I have different prayer schedules because, for example, I like to pray first thing in the morning, and I'm up at the wee hours, and he's actually still sleeping at that time. So our prayers of the morning are done separately. But then in the evening, we pray together before we sleep. And actually, oftentimes we sleep at different times too, but we are sure that we pray together before we actually fall asleep, which is wonderful. And that includes the Rosary and the Divine Mercy. And of course, it's especially meaningful throughout the month of November as John and I are making sure to take advantage of especially praying for the gift of plenary indulgences that can be given to the faithfully departed during this month.
And the plenary indulgences going all through the month with the Holy Father making that stipulation for this year. So that's some good news in this month of All Souls with Ashley Nerona here this morning on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Let's start our discussion and we'll continue it after we do just a very brief mention of our Join the Family Fall Pledge Drive. COVID-19 spiking back up in Europe and especially in Italy right now. Whereabouts are you today, the beginning of November?
Yes.
Where you were in May or June? Because some of the numbers, depending on which state you look at here in the United States, they're now saying, well, we're back where we were in May or June or July. Where are you right now in Rome?
Well, John, yes, to answer that question specifically, it's probably looking more like May. In our country of a population of 60 million, the death toll yesterday, for example, was a little over 300 people. So many EU countries have been locking down. We've been waiting to see what happens in Italy, and we finally know as of this morning. So our prime minister has imposed a nationwide curfew, and it's going to be effective from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. So they ask that people are not out on the streets except for work reasons, for example, or emergency reasons. Now, that's going to go into effect tomorrow. But there is not a nationwide blanket restriction that's being put on the country. In fact, instead, the country is being divided into areas, a red, which is a high-risk zone, and orange, which is more of an intermediate risk, and then green, which are considered to be safer zones. So each one of these zones will have different types of restrictions. So for example, red zones, well, that's going to be where you cannot enter or leave those zones except, again, for emergency reasons, where they are going to require that all coffee bars and restaurants and pubs and most shops will close. But like before, food stores, pharmacies, they are going to remain open. Mm-hmm. So we don't know right now what those zones are, the colors of the country at the moment. And we're waiting to find that out from our prime minister. But I will tell you, just from knowing what we know, most probably it's going to be, the red zones are going to be Lombardy, which is where Milan is, Piemonte, which is where Turin is, and then Calabria in the south, because those happen to be the areas that are hardest hit at the moment. But then there are a few things that are going to affect everyone, John. So for example, throughout the entire country with this new decree, distance learning is now required for high school students. So they are closing high schools. For elementary and middle school students, they have to wear masks even when they're at their desks now. They are saying that public transport, buses, can only hold 50% capacity, although it remains to be seen how that will actually be enforced. They are closing all museums and exhibitions throughout the entire country right now, and they're closing shopping malls on the weekends and on holidays, and then they are promoting people to work from home. So this will be enacted through the 3rd of December for sure, and in the meantime, we're waiting to know more.
As we continue our conversation here at 18 After on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app with our Vatican correspondent, Ashley Nerona, who's live from Rome, we were just talking about some of the new COVID-19 restrictions that you may be seeing in your community as it spikes up all across the country. And we pray to Our Lady of Good Health to help us fight back the COVID-19 virus here in the United States. They, too, are seeing a spike in Italy as well, especially around Milan. And isn't it interesting that you're seeing that spike around Milan on this feast day of St. Charles Borromeo, because when a plague hit Milan, Charles had no fear. He marched barefoot through the streets praying for God's mercy to end the plague. And he would be at the bedside of those who were sick, and that holiness was felt by the people of Milan who joined him in prayer. And guess what happened? The prayers answered. The plague disappeared.
That's right, John. And did you know that that plague of 1576, even today, is still referred to Charles? And one of the reasons is because what happened was when this horrible plague hit, you know, about 6,000 people died just in the first 2 months alone. Most of the city officials and authorities, hey, they skipped town. But that's exactly the opposite of what the Archbishop of Milan, of what Charles Borromeo himself did. And he closed churches. He built altars outside of the churches because he wanted people to still have the opportunity to attend Mass and even to be in their homes and look out the window and be part of the Holy Mass. Now, he instituted 40 hours. So people were staying for 40 hours in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament that was exposed there in the entrance of these churches. He donated his own, so much from his own clothes or church tapestries to help people in need. And Also, he had processions, special processions through the holy city. In fact, one of the most famous was called the Procession of the Holy Nail, because it said that a relic, the nail that actually pierced through the skin of Jesus, was part of that procession. Now, John, after that plague finally ended, those altars that I mentioned, well, they were all dismantled, but to this day, in gratitude for what St. Charles Borromeo did, there are huge crosses that were erected by survivors that sit in the place where those altars once were. Now, actually, three out of four of those crosses that were made still survive today. And of course, those are reminders to us all of the opportunity that we all have, course, to choose to exercise charity, especially during these horrible times. Now, today in Milan, there's a very special celebration that's happening for this great feast today at the cathedral. And by the way, St. Charles Borromeo is entombed inside of the Milan Cathedral. And so Bishop Giuseppe Merisi is going to be celebrating the Mass today and celebrating his 25th anniversary of his episcopal ordination. And then right here in Rome, faithful are making pilgrimages to the Church of St. Charles El Corso, it's called. It's on the Via del Corso. And they're going there especially for the opportunity to pray in front of the relic of the heart of this great saint, this man who demonstrated what true love and charity is. So today, as of course we understand, we are in a similar situation. It's a beautiful opportunity for us to pray for the intercession of this man of great faith and love, John and Glenn.
On this feast day of St. Charles Borromeo, who is the patron saint of bishops and cardinals and seminarians, and speaking of seminarians, we know he is a part of our family as we talk about Join the Family, Ashley, here on Relevant Radio, and that's Bishop Timothy Sr., who's the rector of St. Charles Borromeo Seminary in Philadelphia and a member of our morning family and a listener on Relevant Radio 640. What's interesting about the life of St. Charles Borromeo is that he, as a little boy, knew that God was calling him. And how many times have you told somebody, you know, when I was four, I knew that I wanted to be, and you're doing exactly what you knew that you were going to do at that point in time. When did you know that you were going to do what you're doing? Or is this a course, a surprising course in your life now, teaching seminarians and communicating the news of Rome and the Vatican on a worldwide radio network?
Well, you know, I would say that my revelation has been constant, ongoing, and organic. So my greatest prayer every day, John, is to know the Lord's will and to have the grace to do it each day. So I tend to find that in my own life, it's revealed kind of gradually, incrementally, and one day at a time. So truly, what I'm doing today is a surprise as much as what I'll be doing in a week will be a surprise. But on that note, a priest just told me a sweet story, John, that he, when he was 5 years old, drew a picture of himself at an altar. And of course, never guessed, this is a priest who's from Wisconsin. And so never guessed, of course, that one day he would actually be ordained. Although the sweet thing was that his mom saved that picture and of course brought it out at his ordination.
I love that. I remember my mom and dad, they moved into their first house. I was 3.5 years old. And Father Francis came from our parish to bless the house. And, they'd been taking me to church now for I guess, about a year at that point in time. And when he came to the house, I went and I got a green blanket because it was ordinary time. And I put it around myself. And Father Francis said, you know, one day you're going to be my helper. And, I thought about the priesthood. I discerned the priesthood at some point in time. But, you know, here it is. Again, God riding straight with crooked lines. Look at this. You and I are talking on a Catholic radio network and sharing those stories about our faith.
Right across the many miles and the sea as well. It really is incredible to see the way the Lord works.
Indeed. Listen, in the couple of minutes we have remaining, how will All Saints and All Souls be celebrated through the month of November in some of the many different cathedrals and basilicas in Rome and central Italy?
Well, you know, what's really nice is that, for example, there are going to be masses not only typically through the 1st to the 8th, which is what traditionally happens, but within our calendar, but actually throughout the entire month of November, there's going to be masses at different cemeteries here in Italy. And also there are opportunities for people to come in and offer masses especially. And they have, for example, the church that my husband John and I go to, mm-hmm. has a special book where one can go in and offer masses throughout this month in a special way. So it really is wonderful. And as I mentioned a little bit earlier, just a great gift that we have all been given to have from the Apostolic Penitentiary, who has allowed for the opportunity to gain plenary indulgences for the faithful departed throughout this entire month, which is such a spiritual treasure. It's such an amazing gift to us. And it's so easy to do. Really easy to find out how to do that too, because that is on the Vatican website at www.news.va. And all of that information is there for how we can partake in that and give that spiritual gift to our loved ones.
It's a tremendous spiritual gift that we know that many of you are doing during this month of November and this month of All Saints and All Souls. Ashley Nerona, our Vatican correspondent, along with her husband, Rome, have founded the Truth and Beauty Project, which gives you Renaissance-style theological formation for visitors to Rome. Check it out online at truthandbeautyproject.com, truthandbeautyproject.com. Ashley, thank you.
Oh, God bless.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Nerona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.